place to protect yourself or prepare for that which you are warned about. This past Sunday evening, we didn't have power, and we got power by sometime on Monday, which we were fortunate because a lot of people went later. But by Sunday evening, we never had power, and I was out with Caleb doing something. We went back to the house, and Trish was away, but she had messaged me. We have a little generator, a 3,500 watt generator, and we can plug into this little panel that's in our house, and you can run certain things, but you have to be careful what you run on the generator. And Trisha was able to have a shower. We put the water pump on and the hot water heater, and but then she had told me that she was having a shower and the shower the generator stopped working, so she wasn't able to finish her shower. And it's like, well, that's not good because I need to have, because Sunday you're just, everything's a mess and you're trying to clean up. Well, I need to have a shower. So I took some precautions. You know, I just went and I looked at the panel and just make sure everything's set up right. And, you know, and the generator's running and the water pump kicked in and the generator's shaking a little bit, but it's going. So, you know, it should be all right. And I went upstairs and proceeded to have my shower and have it quick. So you got all lathered up and get the soap in the hair. There's a lot of hair in this head. You know, just all, it's all condensed. But I get this thing lathered up. I got a big, you know, big white thing here. And I tell you, it couldn't have been timed more perfectly or more imperfectly, however you want to. But as soon as I'm just like one big soap bubble, I go to step in. And as I'm walking in, the water is going back. Like the generator quit and the water is out and I'm standing there. I'm big head, big soap bubble up here and just all over. It's like, Chappens, what am I going to do? Like the generator's, I can see out the window. I see the generator down there and it's, nothing's happening. So, Caleb. Yeah, look, Caleb, listen, buddy, you got to get that generator going. Well, I've never started the generator before. It's like, I really should have taken him through and show, you know, just before it, I really should have, this is how you start it, this is what you do. So I can reach out and stand in the top and open the window and I'm kind of directing him while he's doing this. And our generator is kind of finicky, so you got to put the choke, get the choke on before to start, even though it's been running. So there's this yellow piece of plastic. Just flip that over, and then pull it over. So I'm standing there, and Caleb's out there. And, come on, bud, just lean in, bud. Just pull hard. Okay, thanks for trying. Spit the towel on. It's quite the sight, I'm sure, if anybody drove through. You know, me with the towel, big head of soap, boot there, my towel. And I realized when I told him that there's this yellow piece of, like the choke, but I didn't really explain. This yellow piece you got to flap over. There's also the shut-off valve, which was yellow. So he shut the valve off. So he turned the gas off, and then he was pulling the thing because he didn't know. I never showed him how to do it. So it's like, okay, I got to turn the gas on, turn the choke on, and start it up. And vroom, go upstairs, shower's running, I'm good. I tell you that because Trisha told me the shower stopped running. So it's like this warning. If you're going to have a shower, you need to be awful careful because this thing could stop working. So I should have taken Caleb, listen, if this thing ever stops, I need you to, this is how you start it, this is how you work it, this is what you need to do. That's preparing properly based on a warning that you were giving and taking precautions and taking steps to deal with it. Well, going back a little ways, just before, the week before VBS, we've had some different things happen then. I'm going back to a passage that we covered back then, but back, we're doing through, in a series we're doing through the Sermon on the Mount, but when we went back there, what Jesus did is he presented a warning. And there's this warning that he had given to his followers, the people who are listening, and he shares with them in relation to something that they needed to be doing. It had to do with giving. And he warns them, tells them, listen, if you're giving to impress other people, then there's no, you're not giving to the God's glory. All you're doing is impressing other people. That's all you get out of it. And we addressed that a bit last time. This morning, what I want us to do is address another warning that Jesus has. And I'll tell you what I'd love to see happen from this. I would love for you to learn from this and see this warning and not apply the warning. But what I would love to see too, I just love to see you do a transformation in your prayer life. I'd love you to take what Jesus has to say and apply it to your life and experience God through prayer in a way that maybe you never experienced before. That's what I would love to see happen. And if that's going to happen, you're going to have to, there's some things you're going to have to incorporate into your life. Maybe some things maybe feels a little weird, a little uncomfortable, but that we're going to follow what Jesus says. So with that being said, I'm going to read Matthew. We're going to cover Matthew chapter 6, 5 to 8. But I want to read the warning that he gave before in verses 1 to 4. So I want to start, I'm going to read that, what we covered a little while ago, just to kind of catch you up to speed. But before we read this, I want to pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for who you are. And God, I thank you that you're not some being that's out there and we really don't know about. We see, you know, the results of someone out there. But God, you are a personal God, and you gave us your word. And we can go to your word and we can learn about you. We can learn how to connect with you. And we find out that you desire to connect with us. And God, we praise you and thank you for that truth and that reality. And God, I pray today. I pray through your spirit, God, that you would do a work. There'd be transformation. There'd be change. There'd be renewal. God, I pray that you'd work through your word. And I so exceedingly thank you for it. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 8. As I said, we're going to be covering verses 5 to 8, focusing on it, but this is what he said, verses 1 to 4. This is a preview or a review of what we did a few weeks ago. It says, take heed. That's like, listen, be careful. This is your warning. Do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So that's the message that we had covered. And then he goes on to say, and when you pray. So we're talking about giving, now he's talking about prayer. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Now, going into this, there's a precursor that you have to have in your mind that has to saturate your thinking. It had to do with giving, and it has to do with praying. And I need to share a passage with you, Matthew 22, 36 to 38, because you have to understand this. You have to know this, because this affects everything else. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, so this is a big deal. What's the most important thing that God has given that he's told us? What's the top of God's list? And we know, because Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the ultimate driving force behind anything we do when it had to do with giving. Jesus says in relation to giving, if you're going to give and your motivation is to impress other people, well, you're going to get what you're looking for. You'll impress other people, but that's all you're getting. I don't reward that. I'm not going to bless that, but you'll get people to say you're a very generous person. And then he's dealing with prayer. And in prayer, if you're going to commune with me, you can't be doing to impress other people. You have to have the right motive, and the motive has to be the fact that you love God. And it's very interesting, and I don't know if you notice when you're reading, but again and again, when Jesus is saying here, he says, these are the things you don't do, but before that he says, but when you pray. But when you pray, but when you pray, but when you pray. That's what he constantly says, when you pray. And you need to understand it. Speaking to his followers, he does not say, but if you pray. There's no if, because the idea, if you're a follower of him, you will pray. It's not like this option. If it works out and it's convenient and it happens, then this is how you should do it. He says, when you pray, assuming the fact that you're going to make this happen, you realize the priority of it when you pray. It's interesting. It's kind of like physical life. Like you don't say, you know, the idea like, if I eat, you know, I'm going to have strength. You know, it's when I eat. I need to eat because if I'm going to live, I have to eat. The two can't be separated because you can't not eat and go on for an extended period of time and have vitality and have life. It's the same idea with prayer. When you pray. Because I can assure you, and if you've ever gone a season without praying, it's cold, you don't feel close to God, because if you're not praying, you're not communing with God. You're missing out in what is so essential for your spiritual life, when you pray. Because the assumption is, you will pray, when you pray. There's no ifs, when you pray. So I don't want to go into this asking, you know, should you ever pray? It's like, when you pray, because you're to be praying. When you pray. And Jesus says, he starts in the verse 1 in relation to giving, and now has to do with prayer. He says, take heed. Use caution. Be on guard. Take the necessary measures. And then as he says in verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Hypocrite's not a good thing. Hypocrite's someone who plays a part. It's basically like a character in a play who's playing something that's not true and does something that's not sincere and real. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. He's saying, you're a follower of mine, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be someone who does this because you're putting on a play and you want people to see you doing it and you want people to make much of you. Don't pretend to be seeking God and doing something righteous, because prayer is right. Prayer is something that God calls us to do, calls his followers to do. Don't do that and then pervert it by doing it in order to impress other people. Because if you're looking to impress other people, that's all you're going to do. You might impress other people, but you're not going to connect with God. He says the hypocrites, they love to stand and pray in the synagogue. Synagogues were... There was the temple in Jerusalem, and outside, as you went a distance, there'd be smaller places of worship, like synagogues, and the people would gather there. And the hypocrites, they loved to pray there. They loved to pray and people to see them and people to make much of them, people to recognize them. It's kind of like if you went to Atlantic Fitness East or you went to any gym. You go to a gym, what you're going to find in the gym, you will find people there who are there with the motive of exercising, feeling better, having more energy, building structure and strength. And that'll be most people there. They're there for the right motive, the right reason. That's why they go there. And then there's always some. They wear certain shirts and they go to the mirror and when they work out, they're kind of at the best, you know, where's everybody looking? Where's the mirror? You know, and they're doing the weights and, you know, how do my glutes look? Or I don't even know where glutes are, but anyways, wherever they are. But they're doing that. That's their motive. That's truly their motivation. They have the shirts on it. That's why they're there. They're at the gym and they're motivated. I got to get to the gym tomorrow. It's not because, you know, I want to feel good and have energy and vitality. It's like, I got to get there. Like I'm getting pretty fit and I want people to see how fit I am. I want them to see these muscles. Like, this is awesome. I want them to see them. And they get to the mirror and they show off. That's what it was like in the synagogue. That's the same idea. That's the same scenario. People would go into the synagogues and they'd look to impress other people. And they would pray and they would pray loud. Because when they're loud, people, they hear them, draw their attention to them, and wow, that's a very righteous person. Look how loud they are. And they pray long. There's be long prayers and very, very highly prayers and very, very, sound really smart. And people say, wow, that is such a righteous person. And they would. And people just, if they didn't say it, they'd think it. And people, as they're praying it, they're realizing people are looking at them. They're getting their attention. And Jesus says, and that does happen. They will get attention. But I'm telling you, that's all they're going to get. That's all they're going to get. He says, the hypocrites love to stand and pray in the street corners. Just something that was interesting in a concordance that was pointed out. And Verse 2 talks about street, and then verse 5 it talks about street, and in verse 5 the word that's used in Greek for street, it speaks of a broad road, and in verse 2 it's like a narrow, just like a regular road, but broad road. It carries the idea they would love to be in this area where there's lots of people. And it's kind of like there would be prescribed times of prayer back in Jesus' day. There would be they blow a certain horn, or there'd be a call to prayer. I mean, here we have the fire hall, and if I'm at 12 o'clock and we're going on, you hear the woo or whatever, that siren that goes off. It's like this call. It's like lunchtime. Well, they would have a call to prayer. And the thing is, it's as if people would schedule themselves and work it out how when that call to prayer would go, they'd be on the broad road where there's lots of people gathered, and when the call came out, what they would do is they would pray. And when they would pray, people would see them. And that's good if they're praying in a certain, nothing wrong with that, but if they're praying in intentionally somewhere where there's going to be lots of people and lots of people will see them, then they're praying for all the wrong reasons. It's just an absolute waste. They're not communing. They're not connecting with God. Their motivation is not love. Their motivation is just to be seen by other people. And let me tell you, people were guilty of it in Jesus' day. People can still be guilty of it in our day. I mean, anytime you're asked to pray, whether it be at a family gathering or maybe over grace, you know, you're sitting to eat and somebody asks you to pray, or you know, praying in public in a church gathering or at a wedding or whatever it may be. Let me tell you, when someone asks you to pray, there's this temptation. It's like, well, how's it going to sound? And it's not wrong to think through what you're going to pray, but you always have to put in check, what's my motivation? Am I praying and hoping to truly commune with God, to connect with God because I love God, or am I praying because I'd love for everybody to think I'm really righteous? And there's this challenge that it'll come in. You're going to pray in front of a bunch of people. What am I going to say? Like, how will they receive that? And you got a question, is it about how people receive it, or is it about connecting with God? That's your challenge. And if it's about impressing other people, then it's in vain. You just say words. It really means nothing. Let's say this Tuesday, let's say with husbands, we'll pick on husbands, with husbands or if you're dating, let's say you're dating, it's your anniversary, whatever it is, there's an anniversary on Tuesday. And you go to the flower shop and you go and you're not messing around. You ask for, I want the biggest bouquet that's available. I just like pack this thing in. I don't want the regular one. I want the big one, like big bouquet. And then you go and you stay with your wife, you knock on the door on Tuesday because you left, and then you come back and you have this big honking bouquet. And she's like, wow, you know, that's awesome. You know, just I love it. It's beautiful. Thank you so much. I mean, this thing is huge. And then let's say you answer with integrity and honestly and with stupidity. And you say to your wife, listen, I just need you to know something. You know, it is an impressive bouquet, but I need you to know, like, the reason I got you that is because what I want you to do, I want you to make sure you tell all your friends to have this big bouquet that I got, and I want your friends to commend me for being such a good husband. Like, could you do that? Like, tell your friends I'm a great husband. That's what I want from you. Please, could you do that, honey? I tell you, that bouquet must just go, it's going in the garbage, you're going to the doghouse or whatever else. Everything, you negated everything. You had this big bouquet and it's beautiful, but you just negated it. It means nothing. Your wife is like, you fool. That's disgusting. It's like with God. You know, we have this opportunity to commune, to connect with the God of the universe. And he's made possible through Christ. We can do this. We can connect with God. We truly can. And you have this opportunity to connect with God, motivated by your love for God. And you do that. You do. You commune with God. And God sees that. God bless that. There's connection. But if you go before God and it's supposed to be out of love, but really it's not for love. It's to impress other people. It's just so empty. It's like, well, how does God look at that? Really? You have an opportunity. You can connect with me. Christ, my son died. I've forgiven your sins. I made provision. And you're coming to me, and all you want to do is impress other people. Like, really? Verse 6. It says, but when you pray, go into your prayer room. And when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret place will reward you openly. I want to just clarify something first. First of all, scripturally, it's not wrong to pray publicly. I just prayed just a minute ago. I prayed before I started. You can't read this and say, well, someone prays publicly. That's what Jesus is saying, because you need to go away and shut the door. No, Jesus prayed publicly. Jesus prayed in front of his disciples. 1 Timothy, we're told to be praying publicly. But the thing is, although we're to pray publicly, that is not to be the primary way that you pray. If that's the primary way that you pray, then something is seriously wrong in your spiritual life. I mean, you look at Jesus, Jesus would go and get alone to pray. He'd just go and he'd leave his disciples and they would stay back and he'd go and just himself. That's what he'd do, just himself, and he would pray. And there's many places you can go to get alone with God and pray. You can pray in your car, just you and God, and you pray. You can go walk to the beach and just get summers in creation and just pray, or just go for just go somewheres. But I want to encourage you, if you can find a place in your home, like a secluded place in your home, that's private, and you could, when you go there, you shut the door, and you shut the door with intention that you're going there to connect with God. There's something special about that. And God is everywhere. You can pray with God. You can pray to God anywhere. But if you go and you're going, like, there's something to be said to being intentional. Like, when you go there, there's somewheres you go, and when you shut that door, you're shutting the door because you're going to get alone with God, and that's your intention. I mean, you shut the door, you shut your phone off, because if you go in there and shut the door and your phone's buzzing, it's no good. But you go there and you shut the door and you're going there because you're going to meet with God. And I encourage you too. It's good to go there and ponder the reality, the fact that you're going there. Okay, I got something I need to deal with. I'm going here, gonna just shut the door. I'm gonna get alone, and I'm just gonna bring this before God. It's good to ponder just what you're doing. I want to share some verses with you. Hebrews 4, verse 16. It says this: let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's this idea before the throne, the grace, ultimately before God, before his throne. You're coming before God and you're going to pray and you're going to seek him. And that's what you're doing. When you're going, it's good to think about the fact that that's actually truly what you're doing, because that's really what's happening. Although you're in some room, maybe it's a bedroom, maybe it's a closet in a bedroom. Like you're going as far as you can in your home or whatever. Just get as secluded as you can to get away from any interruptions as you can. And it's just quiet. And when you go there for the purpose. You go there to pray. When you shut the door, that's your intention. And it's a little weird. It feels a little awkward. You know, you're going somewheres and you're going and you're getting somewhere secluded and you're shutting the door. It feels a little weird. But you're going there with intention. You're going to meet with God. And when you go there, you shut the door. This is your kind of your prayer closet that some people call it. Like it's summers you go and you go to get alone with God. When you go there, you ponder the fact that you are there to meet with God. You don't go there and just bust into prayer. You go there and ponder the fact that you're coming before God. You're coming before his throne. You're meeting with God. Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And there's a benefit if you think about the fact that you're actually coming before God. You're pondering that fact, the reality. You're coming before God. You're not just saying words. You're coming before God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not rewarder of those who just say some words and throw off some things that are in their head, but who diligently seek him. I mean, you're going, you're passionately seeking God. You're going there with a purpose to seek God. I want to share a verse with you that I've recited many times, and it, maybe you could write it down, but it's just, I think through it. And it's interesting because I came across this. I remember I was in my early 20s, and I was reading something by John MacArthur. You mentioned this. And since then, I've mentioned different men of God and people of God that just love God, and this is something they do. They ponder coming before the throne of God, because that's what happens. When we pray, we're truly coming before God. Listen to this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And with 1 cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." It's just pondering the fact, because someday I don't think we consider the fact of actually what we're doing when we pray. We so flippantly enter into prayer, and we don't ponder the fact we're coming before God. Actually, yesterday, just unrelated, I was listening to something. I was on YouTube, and Francis Chan, he went to Revelation chapter 4, and that the scene before heaven and praising God, and just the holy of the holiness of that event. But it's good to just ponder what's happening. Like sometimes I try to just envision the throne of God, and I don't know what God's throne looks like, but just something huge, and God is there, and I'm just bowed down before his throne. I ponder what is happening. I get a better idea of what's really happening as opposed to what is happening. Just standing in a room or a closet or something. It's like I'm there, and I'm there to focus on God. And you ponder the fact that God is there and God hears. And the thing is, when we come before God, and in sincerity we come before him, you need to know that God, he will always answer your prayers. Always. The thing with God and how he answers prayers, though, it's not always the way that we would like to have him answer them. But he always answers. You can come. I come before God. I'll pray for something. God, there's some things I want to cover. We'll get into next week, and just going through a way to focus in prayer. And there's different ways that people pray, and adoration, confession, supplication, and or thanksgiving, supplication. There's the prayer here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom. We'll go through. I want to go through that. I want to give you some models as far as prayer, but. But the thing is, when I get to, because I don't start here, but I get there, and bringing requests before God, and there's been times I've prayed, you know, God, could you make this happen? Could you put your, you know, just work this out how it does? And I've done that, and I tell you, just within no time at all, boom, that day, answered. Wow, God, thank you. That's awesome. And then sometimes I pray that it's not not yet. So sometimes I pray and it didn't happen yet, and then sometimes it's a week later, but it comes together. Or sometimes it's a year. And some people I know people like 30, 40 years before they've seen their prayer answered, but it gets answered. But yes, but not yet. You need to wait, and God is into waiting. Sometimes it's like this is not my time frame, but God says my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I have a plan. This I'm going to answer, but it's when this happens. And then sometimes you'll pray to God, and God, could please, you know, could you make this situation, this job, this relationship, this situation here, could you put this together? And then sometimes God says, no. You ask, and God says no, and we just don't get it. But the thing is, God is eternal, and we're not. We lived in this sin-cursed world, and we just navigate through that, and God is sovereign and all that, but sometimes things don't go the way that we think they should, and sometimes the fact is you will pray, and you will ask, and God will say no. I mean, if you're a parent, and you don't say no sometimes to your kids, you're not a good parent, because they have to know that the reality is sometimes there has to be no's. I was at a prayer meeting one time, in Winnipeg. I remember this lady, she prayed this, and I never forgot it. I just thought, well, it really struck me. And so we're there, and we're gathered around, and she's praying and thanking God for different things. And she said, God, I just want to thank you for saying no to that the prayer that you know that I prayed. I just want to thank you, because if it would have came together, I see now what would have happened. But I'm able to see what, you know, thank you in your wisdom for saying no, because mercy, that would have went bad. And see, sometimes later on, we can look back and say, okay, now I see it. Now I see why it was a no. And then sometimes you mightn't see it on this side of heaven. You might have to just see the whole picture, because we deal with, you know, 40, 60, 80 years, 15, whatever, and God deals with eternity. That's the timeline he's working on. But our time with God, it needs to be sincere. It can't be just this light, and it needs to be focused. And that's what I'm encouraged. If you're not, then transform your prayer life. Like really transform it. Get yourself, here's if you want a practical challenge for this week, I challenge you to find somewhere in your home that you get together, you get alone, and it's like you shut the door because you're alone. And when you shut the door, you're getting there because you're going to pray to God. You're going to connect with God. That's a practical challenge for you. Find that place. We're going to talk through some more in prayer in the next. We'll get at it next Sunday again, just for some things to pray through. Verses 7 and 8. Jesus says, and when you do use vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask of him. This is almost like a safeguard too. The safeguard is getting alone with God. But this is like something you need to guard against, because you get alone with God, and if all you're doing is you're just hammering out prayers, like saying the same thing again and again, and a good thing is to ask yourself, do you kind of just flippantly say the same thing each time you pray? I don't want hands up or anything else like that. But it's like, do you just, no real thought, no real focus. You just flippantly say the same things again and again. And it's like if you're praying through a prayer list and there's certain people that you're praying for, that's good and that's right. But it needs to be focused. You want to think about the person, not just rip through a name. But make sure your prayers are sincere. It's not just flippant. I think back when I was a kid, and that's not a bad thing. It's just, the prayer, now and lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's, I can't tell you how many times I prayed that. And then in and of itself, not necessarily bad, although theologically, I believe, if you're saved, you're always saved, and you don't have to be praying that God keep. But anyways, but it's like if we just flippantly say that, and it's just run off, no thought, it's like, got the prayer done, off to sleep. I'm covered. That doesn't cut it. Like you can't just be not saying things, flippantly saying things, and thinking sometimes, well, I just say this, just as a heathen do. Those who don't know God, they just say the same thing again and again and again and again, thinking by all the repetition, by saying the same thing again and again and again and again in their prayers, that God will hear them, and when he hears them, if they say it enough times, he'll answer them. All together. Boo! No, just kidding. No. But, see, Gladys, you throw me off now. But, as the heathen do, because here's the reality. It's not what you say that alerts God to what your prayers are. Because, as Jesus says, God already knows what we're going to pray even before we do, which is one of the mysteries of prayer. Don't ever do that if anybody's new. Just Gladys. Gladys, there's a power button. Press it, okay?
Or answer it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to Psalm 139. Oh Lord, this is the psalmist. Oh Lord, you've searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. See, God knows everything about you. Jesus says he knows the hairs in your head. He knows everything about you. And it's not by you repeating again and again and again and again and again and again and again that God's going to hear it. But the fact is, we're told to pray. We're told to make a request before God. If we go into James, there's a verse in James that says, you do not have because you do not ask. There's certain things that you don't experience in your life because you're not asking God for it. And if you ask God, God would provide. But because you're not asking, he's not. But prayer is a mystery. And And it's not that we need to say it in order for God to know. God already knows, but we are to say it. And God, there's things that God does because we pray. But I'll tell you this. This I know. The most important aspect of prayer is not about you asking God and God doing something. Because God never presented himself as a bellboy. God will do certain things for us in his time. And we are to ask. And that's good because we're told to. But the most important aspect of prayer is connecting with God. It's this daily communion with God, connecting with God, being empowered by God because you connected through prayer. You're in his word. It's another means which God has given us, which we experience the Spirit of God working in us. You pray and you truly connect with God, your day just kind of flows out a little different. It's not everything's perfect by any means. But oftentimes it could be much worse if it wasn't time you pray. And sometimes it's just you just have this close connection with God through the day. But it's about communion with God. It's about connecting with God. So there's a warning that Jesus has. And the warning is, when you pray, don't be praying to impress anybody else. Because that's a foolish, stupid thing to do. But you're going to be tempted. Because we want people to like us. We want people to think, wow, that was impressive or whatever. But don't do that. When you pray, you pray and connect with God. And I just encourage you, maybe prayer hasn't been a real priority. Maybe it was and you've kind of gotten away from it. I just encourage you, find a place. Find your place. This is a place where you go and you connect with God. And you go in there and you shut the door and it feels a little weird. But you're going there because you're going to connect with God. You pray to God. I just want to share a section from what was said by a gentleman, Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon. He's a pastor in England. He died a number of years ago, but his writings are still on. I have a devotional that I really appreciate by him. He was called the Prince of Preachers. And he just, anyways, loved God. And this is what he says, and I'm just going to finish with this. He says, I should not try to prove to a blind man that the grass is green and the sky blue, because he can have no idea of the proposition which I'm proving. Argument in such a case is folly on both sides. Now listen to this. To us, at any rate, prayer is no vain thing. We go to our chambers alone, believing that we are transacting high and real business when we pray. You're pondering the fact that you're connecting with God. This is the real deal. We do not bow the knee merely because it's a duty and a commendable spiritual exercise, but because we believe into the ear of the eternal God we speak our wants, and that his ear is linked with our heart, a feeling for us, and a hand working on our behalf. To us, true prayer is true power. True prayer is true power. Truly connecting with God. You truly connect with God. There's a communion with God. There's a connection with God. Truly connect with God. You're looking for God to work things out in his way, in his time. So I just encourage you, just reignite that. If it's gotten not so personal, and if it's not personal, just if it's not something that you do as a spiritualist, I encourage you to do it. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your word. And God, I pray that with your people, God, you just ignite something new, or something more passionate. Just if someone who's connecting, that they just continue on and not become distracted, God. So God, we come before you and we ask. God, we pray according to your will, that just we connect in close communion with you. And I pray for us as a church, God. I just pray that we would be empowered and just renewed as we come before you and we do pray and connect with you. And I'm thankful how that's made possible through Jesus Christ and putting our faith and trust in him and what he provided on the cross. And in trusting him, we enter into relationship and become a child of God. And as a child, we're able to come before our Father. So God, I thank you for these things. And I thank you for who you are. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.